music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this December the 29th on the West Coast and December 30th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd also like to welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world and on BlogTalkRadio.com. Well, here we are. We're getting right down the neck of the New Year's, and there's corruption like you cannot imagine going on in Washington, D.C. The International Sovereign Prosperity Funds that have been the topic of many a conversation on the show throughout the last couple of years are again being held up by Obama and Bush and Clinton and gang. And in particular, Hillary Clinton has come to the forefront. Evidently, she and Ava Tulake, who I wrote about in the Wantagate piece that I did in January of 2007 in the Idaho Observer, are basically caught red-handed by the FBI. And news has it that the CIA is telling the FBI to stand down to allow Hillary Clinton to continue her corrupt ways. Now, CIA has no legal authority to arrest anyone. In fact, they're an international agency that's basically just being run as an organized crime family here in the United States, of which Obama is one. And I might dovetail into this recent alleged terrorist event that occurred a couple of days ago, a flight leaving Holland, and upon arrival or near arrival to Detroit here in the United States, there was a fire started by some incendiary device. Now, the individual was alleged to be from Nigeria, was allowed to get on an airplane without a passport, without identification, and basically told, we do this all the time. And so they allowed this person, who was alleged to have been a refugee from the Sudan, of all places, a popular place with the Clintons these days, they allowed this individual to get on the plane and create another false flag event. Chris Story seems to think it's a Homeland Security ruse, and it so happens Homeland Security is involved in the money laundering and the theft of the prosperity funds, the sovereign funds that have 10 different tiers around the world. So consider, while you're contemplating your New Year's resolution, consider seeing all these crooks in jail and getting their just reward for committing treason during time of war, which the penalty is death. Think about that when you state your New Year's resolution, whether you say it out loud, write it down. Really think about it. And there are numerous sources coming out with the information, again, that Hillary Clinton has been caught red-handed by the FBI. They have fingerprints. They have proof that she has been involved in embezzling money, and they're doing nothing about it. You should be outraged at what you're asked to do, just getting into your car and driving down the street, let alone what these people are doing. And I use the word people with reservation, great reservation. With that, tonight's guest is a regular here on Evident Footprints. He has a great website called educate-yourself.org, and he He's also a student of metaphysics. He's a great researcher, a journalist in his own right, and my good friend, Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to the show.
Hello, Don. Thank you very much. Glad to be on with you again.
Well, listening to the news, does anything surprise you these days?
Well, I would say that, of course, the latest event with this fellow on the airplane from Holland is clearly another setup. I've been hearing AM and FM talk radio literally flood the airwaves with their talk shows, repeatedly hammering home that this guy is part of an Al-Qaeda network. I mean, it's deja vu. It's the same sort of ridiculous hype and created let's say alarm that followed in the wake of 9/11, and here we are so many years later, eight years later, with the same crew of Clear Channel AM talk radio host. I happened to get in a station out of L.A. and San Diego quite strong, so those are the ones I hear more often. But ABC is out of Los Angeles. It's 790 on the AM dial here on the West Coast. And both day and night talk shows go on, unendingly about this. My favorite, the Tavistock propaganda outlet, National Public Radio, which I normally call National Propaganda Radio, is also beating this story unendingly, interviewing various people about the need to ramp up greater security measures with TSA, and it looks now like with the Indonesian imposter made an announcement, perhaps it was yesterday, this morning, I can't remember sure, in which he's talking about, this was a close one, folks. Had that underwear bomb gone off, 300 and some odd people would have perished right there, and it shows that we have to be forever vigilant in the face of, these obvious dedicated enemies to the freedom-loving edifice of freedom and democracy and liberty in the world, the United States government.
Wait a minute. TSA is already in charge of security.
Exactly. Let's so anyway, what I see is I see now, an additional excuse to squander more taxpayer money on equipment. For instance, as you know, some months ago, in some airports here in the United States and in Canada, I think, they have installed these machines. They're essentially X-ray machines, and airline passengers have to get in them, and the operator can see through the clothing, now, besides giving the passengers an unneeded dose of X-rays, which is damaging to the body, the DNA, et cetera, whoever's operating that TSA panel, be it a male, is getting himself a free peep show there. This is an outrageous, unacceptable affront to people's privacy, and people should be up in arms about these machines. I certainly wouldn't go through one of them. If I was left with the choice, we'll either go through this machine or you can't get on the plane. Okay, I don't get on the plane. I tell the airline to give me my money back. If they don't give my money back, I sue them. But I just wouldn't accept it. And on the other hand, when I'm listening to these hacks on ABC radio, talk radio, I'm hearing this guy lamenting the fact that there are only 40 of these machines, and that they ought to have them in every single airport. And it's outrageous that TSA security is so lax in the face of this clear danger of these Al-Qaeda cells, which, thank God, if it wasn't for the vigilance of our brave and noble Homeland Security and the FBI, we would have had a lot more attacks since 9/11, but thank God for these wonderful folks and their vigilance. I actually heard that satanic scumbag Tom Ridge take credit for that in that very way on a TV talk show about 7 years ago. It must have been about 2002, 2003. He was on one of the late night talk shows, and he actually, you know, nodded his head and said, "Yeah, well, you know, we've been able to stem a number of these attempts because, you know, now that we're on the job." And of course, the truth is quite the opposite. We know that it's the government who's behind these false flags, and it's been friendly forces, the true friends of liberty in this country, that have thwarted attempts by the government to pull off yet another false flag operation in sundry locations, as we've discussed in many times.
If I'm mistaken, correct me, but wasn't Tom Ridge in charge of what was it, FEMA?
No,
was it Homeland Security?
He was the first
during Katrina.
Yeah, he was the first Homeland Security czar, right.
Okay, it was during Katrina. And wasn't he removed from incompetence? And now
he left office, and, you know, one has to wonder why. Of course, you know, he was part of the Bush criminal regime, and he left office. They replaced him with another party, and then Napolitano was the latest appointee to that position. But the son of a gun actually got up and took credit for it when it's everything these people say is a distortion or of the truth or an outright fabrication. They never say the truth. And in the case of this man who this is going to be the excuse now that we have to squander another how many millions of taxpayer dollars. Not that we, you know, we haven't given enough away. What with the Wall Street bailout, supposed to have been $750 billion, turns out it came to $850 billion. And then the stimulus package, it's just wonderful how they're piling debt upon our children and our grandchildren And what benefits are flowing from this? No benefits are flowing this to the people. It's robbery. It's the corporate friends of these criminals in running our government who are benefiting the Halliburtons of the world, the banks, insurance companies, the Wall Street firms, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. These are the people who continue to rob the American people in the name of helping us, in the name of saving us, in the name of rescuing us.
Let me just underscore what this false flag event was intended to divert. The corruption going on in Washington. Now, the people they used were Indonesian, the people in Holland.
Right.
These were Indonesians, okay? So there's an association with Obama. Mm-hmm. To this, there's no doubt about this, and this has been analyzed by a few people. And there was an attorney from the Detroit area on that flight, returning from a safari in Africa with his wife, mm-hmm. and he witnessed the whole event.
Yes,
at the ticket counter, and he witnessed what went on in the airplane as well.
Yes.
Now these people are under the impression that a terrorist had gotten on the plane, but it's evident that it's a Homeland Security caper.
Yes. Right.
Because Homeland Security is involved in this theft simultaneously.
Right.
So what an opportune time to divert attention away from what's going on. Mm-hmm. But if anyone grows any gonads in Washington, heads are going to start rolling.
Mm-hmm. Well,
the treason is.
Oh, yes. I mean, it's
indescribable.
It's right. It's reaching the boiling point of in terms of I think the public at large. I am getting interesting email, though. I'm hearing more and more people tell me that it appears that a large percentage of the American public is of the opinion 9/11 is an inside job. I whatever polls you hear quoted on mainstream, of course, are skewed to whatever the, you know, the propagandists want to skew them to, so you can't really trust them. However, though, it's interesting to hear, though, that at least judging by the email that I'm getting, a large percentage of people don't buy the 9/11 story. And to me, that's significant. It's too bad. It takes 8 years for a large segment of this country to wake up to such a blatant, obvious fact that had only 5 or 6 or 7 thousand bits of evidence pointing to the fact that it was an inside job. It's unfortunate that the country has been dumbed down, that electronics are used to keep people dumb, and chemicals in the food is adulterated just to, you know, keep people in this zombie-like state. That's unfortunate. But even with all that, apparently enough people are of the opinion that, you know, the government. Now, once you come to that realization, this is what ought to follow if you have a logical mind. If you can see that 9/11 was an inside government-sanctioned job, in which obviously our intelligence people, CIA, FBI, for instance, are in cahoots, are some players on various levels to either cover up, obfuscate, or actually directly involve themselves, particularly I would assume the CIA. And then you undoubtedly have members of, you know, covert military operations who played some role, because they certainly played a role in the bombing at the Murrah building, because they found the leg of a individual in army fatigues, a boot and leg of an individual who, you know, was obviously there as part of the operation, but somehow waited too late to get out of the building or whatever, and he was killed as a result of the blast. Then, of course, undoubtedly Mossad played a big role in carrying out 9/11, and then, of course, the government, the executive, had to be in bed with all the information. I mean, Bush's conduct on 9/11 is absurd. This man looks like he's in Twinkie Land there. He's having his aide, Andrew Card, perhaps, whisper in his ear that, you know, the World Trade Center has just been bombed. He blankly stares out at a grade school children. He's holding a reading book, upside down, and he does nothing for the next 20 minutes. And, of course, when he tried to cover his tracks later in announcing when he saw the plane into the building, he just walked all over his credibility, because he was inside this class supposedly when all this was happening. And then he's whisked off in Air Force One. And then, of course, every plane in the country is grounded. No one could fly. This is verboten. Except, of course, the family of Osama bin Laden. This is the one exception. Of all the aircraft, you know, in the entire country, one is allowed to fly. The family of Osama bin Laden. Thank you very much. This is so logical. Of course the government has no role in this. It's just, well, they just happen to like these folks, so they gave them the one exception. It's insane. It's insane that people could even begin to believe this childish fairy tale about 9/11. Okay, so let's say 8 years later, you finally come to the conclusion with, thanks to the, you know, voluminous work of hundreds, perhaps thousands of people writing lengthy essays illustrating the facts match that it's an inside job, and the facts expose the fact that it couldn't have been these 19 Arab men, 11 of them which were alive and well after the event. So once you come to the realization the government is behind 9/11, everything that follows in the wake of 9/11 is clearly a scripted agenda to gut the U.S. Constitution and to reduce this country from a freedom enshrining republic to a police state. And it begins with the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act was pre-written and ready to go. The only way you can have that happen is when the conspirators are planning on the events of 9/11 to occur. Then they hammered out this voluminous, I don't know how many, 1,400 pages, Patriot Act. It's all ready to go. And what do they do? Like they did here with this bill. It was October. They burned the midnight oil. There's no debate about anything. Everything is just rubber stamped, and now we got the Patriot Act. And bingo, 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 we lose this amendment. We lose protection of this amendment. We have massive invasion of privacy. We have warrantless searches. We just have a whole laundry list of fascist agendas, of fascist laws, or quote statutory laws, rammed down our throat under the utter false pretext of a false flag operation.
And it's all illegal, and it's all criminal.
It's all illegal. It's all criminal. And these people who rubber stamped these votes, they are themselves guilty of violating their oath to protect the principles of the Constitution and to protect the interests of their constituents. How many of them repeatedly said, well, there was no time to read it. I didn't read it, so I didn't realize it said that. Oh, I didn't realize we lost the Fourth Amendment, blah, blah, blah. Oh, really? That's your job, buddy. That's what you're getting, whatever the pay is for a senator. I mean, I think it's over $200,000 now. Whatever the pay is for a congressman, that's what the people are paying you for. To say that, oh, I didn't read it, is inexcusable. There is no justification. It's like having your father die on the table from a brain operation that didn't work out, and the surgeon tells you, oh, you know, I really didn't have time to study the chapter on brain surgery. I was just so busy, you know, attending to my yacht and my mistress and so forth. I just missed that chapter. I'm sorry, but, oh, here's the bill for $250,000. It's that absurd. There is any time any member of Congress would get up, he should be pelted with eggs and, you know, rotten tomatoes right then and there. And then an impeachment, a recall action should be put into, you know, his constituents ought to be calling for his removal immediately. The fact that people just accept these outrageous statements from these lying, treasonous individuals pretending to be representatives of the people when in fact they're sellouts who are enabling this fascist takeover of this country to go forward. And the only way it's going to stop, because, you know, we'll certainly never get enough of them. I mean, how many people in Congress, in the Senate or the House, can you say are truly on the side of the people? How many? It's a very small number. And even of those, they're unwilling to stick their neck all the way out and call all the shots. For instance, with the exception of Dennis Kucinich, I think, is there anyone in the United States Congress that ever raised their voice about the daily poisoning operations that's taking place over our head, every state of this union, all of North America for that matter, since 1998 for 11 years straight? Now we're going into our 12th year of chemtrails poisoning. Other than Dennis Kucinich, has anyone else stood up and says, wait a minute, what is these planes that the government keeps on telling us are ordinary contrails, and in fact, and the evidence is so voluminous that they're spraying an aerosol that, at least when you know, civilians who don't really have the money or the budget or the resources to test it, have done their best to just make, you know, ground-based fallout tests, and we're finding, you know, 14, 18 different species of pathogens. We're finding a dozen or so metals. We're finding, picking up iodine radioactive iodine. You name it, they've been dropping it in chemtrails. And yet, other than Dennis Kucinich, and this goes back to 2004, not one of these sellout New World Order flakes who are taking our money, taking the money of the American people, have ever stood up and says, what's going on here? Why are we allowing this to happen? So,
I personally, I wouldn't even give Dennis Kucinich that much credit. I mean, you know.
Well, I give him credit for at least putting up this attempt at this bill to at least call attention to the problem. I mean, I understand someone who got up there and really got vigorous about it. He's going to have a Paul Wellstone type of event happen in his life. I know that. So
now, as a Democrat, I mean, you know, he's in my district. Okay?
Yes. Okay,
I'm quite familiar with what his policies are, and I can tell you that in light of what he did to the city of Cleveland when he was the mayor, you know, he put the city in default financially.
Right.
And his big line is follow the money, follow the money. Well, yeah, that's because they all follow the money. And that, you know, as a Democrat, he doesn't stand a chance of getting any of these things enacted. And he knows it. He's up there just to give the illusion that somebody cares.
Okay.
That's all.
Well, yeah. Well, what I'm, Joe, is I'm limiting my, you know, discussion to chemtrails, and to my knowledge, it's possible Ron Paul had mentioned it, I'm not sure, but Kucinich went to the point of actually putting the description of chemtrails in a bill. So I give him credit for that. What other areas he might, you know, fail in is another topic. But how many of them? And how many thousands, perhaps probably tens of thousands, who knows how many people would, particularly in the first 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 years of spraying, would write into their congressman or senator and ask about this. And one of two things would happen. In most cases, particularly in the first, let's say, 5 or 6 years following the beginning of the chemtrail campaign, they simply wouldn't answer the constituents. That's the most email I got. It's someone would say, well, I wrote to every member, every senator, and not one of them replied. That's the usual way it was handled. They simply stonewalled. If you call the office, naturally you never get the representative directly. You get a staff member, and you voice your concerns, and they'll say, thank you very much, I'll make your concerns known, and you would never hear anything from them. They wouldn't call you, they wouldn't write you, they would just ignore you. And then when they began to answer, it was the party line. It was
form letters, yeah.
Right. It's either the contrail thing. They tried that for quite a while. And then from there, it was, well, I'm understanding that in, you know, the government, of course, at the same time, they were flooding the internet with disinformation stories about the purpose of chemtrails was to create this a metallic shield so that, you know, our defense forces are practicing, you know, using the sky for a radar screen and yada, yada, yada. Sounds cute. And I suppose a lot of people saying, well, that sounds logical. I guess that's the reason. Not realizing that this is no longer 1944. First, there is no enemy other than, you know, the ones running the government. But beyond that, the technology has gone way beyond that. We have something called satellites. There's quite a few of them. They're all around, and we have ground-based systems that there is no technical requirement or need to poison the entire population of North America with metallic particles to create a reflective shield. There is no need for it. And furthermore, the technology, you know, makes that completely unnecessary because they can spot a mosquito flying, you know, up your nose if they wish to detect that. I mean, the technology is so advanced. Well, talking about bugs, the government has developed nanotechnology to this degree. They have what look like flying insects that are actually robots.
Mm-hmm.
And they look just like what do they call it? A water dragon? I'm trying to remember the name of that.
Dragonfly, you mean?
Dragonfly, yeah. Thank you. This happened 3 or 4 months ago. I met Ted Gunderson. Of course, we coordinated on the phone, and for some reason, they just love Ted Gunderson. Even though he's 80 years old, they dog him wherever he goes. And I guess, you know, once in a blue moon, he gets together with me. So naturally, they have to hear what we're talking about. So I arranged to meet him at a very busy mall here in Orange County, and we went into a Asian market that has a part of the market. They have different stalls, you know, devoted to pastry, and they have another area where you can eat, and they have booths there, okay? So I intentionally wanted that type of open place so we could sit in a corner booth, and I could be looking, Ted and I can be looking to see who came in, you know, and so that we can prevent people from, you know, getting too close, because I already anticipated we were going to have visitors. Well, sure enough, even though we picked the loneliest booth down in the far corner of this area, there was, you know, the whole area was loaded with empty booths. I'm talking away to Ted, and within 10 minutes of the conversation, a guy sits on the booth that's immediately back to my back, and I'm talking away, and I'm telling Ted some important information that I wanted him to know. And I realized this guy is behind me, and he pretends he's reading a paper. He sort of looked like an Asian guy, kind of looks like disheveled, kind of a poor boy, got a hat on. And, you know, he's a middle-aged guy, you know, kind of sneakers and jeans and, you know, looks sort of scruffy and has a big, you know, shopping bag with him. So. And I wrote down on a piece of paper, I said, Ted, how long has this guy been there? And he wrote down about 10 minutes. So what I did is I got up and I went to the far end of where these booths were, and I got my camera on, and I turned it on, I zoomed in on this guy, and he buries his head in the newspaper even deeper than what he was. I shoot a picture. Of course, I can't really get his face because he's totally obscured his face. I sit back down at the booth. And then I tell Ted, let's sit in another area. So we moved to another area, which was an open table. Mind you, you know, there was hardly, you know, there's three or four people there. So this guy, and I stood up to see if this guy would look at me. So I was trying, he's got his head down, he's got a hat on, and he's pretending he's sleeping. He's holding an open paper, yet he's pretending he's sleeping. Because I'm standing over and I'm looking right down at him, waiting for him to look up at me, but he doesn't. That convinced me that he was an agent. Okay, so we moved to another open table out of this guy's earshot. He gets up and quickly exits without ever looking at me. He's always looking in the opposite direction as he leaves. No more than he leaves, a dragonfly zooms along about 1 foot over the floor, mm-hmm. and hovers right next to the table where Ted and I are. And Ted and I saw this at the same time. We're in a highly urbanized area. There's no dragonflies that normally would be in this area. I never seen them because you don't see them in a supermarket. It just doesn't happen. What they did is they sent in one of these robots, and Ted and I at the same moment said, "Hey, that's one of those TV camera." And no more had we said that than this thing zips around to the opposite side of our table. You know, and so I'm fumbling to get my camera up and open so I can take a picture of this thing. No more than I get the camera out, then this thing takes off, you know, flies in the opposite direction. It looks just like a dragonfly. It flies just like a dragonfly. You know, just looking at it quickly with the naked eye, you could not know the difference. And I never discussed this technology with Ted, but we said at the same time, hey, that's one of those camera bugs. Because there's no way that creature would normally be in that environment, you know, at that at that location. It just can't happen. It wouldn't happen. So the agent they sent in couldn't eavesdrop, so they just sent in one of their robots. Anyway, the reason I went into all that is just that the technology is far more advanced than the average citizen is aware. I mean, far more advanced, you know, perhaps by 100, 200 years advanced. And these ludicrous explanations they give us for the poisoning, well, at least they did at that time when they were, this is about 5 years ago, they were distributing this very lengthy internet report. Well, it was on the internet. It was a report. Of course, you never get a name attached to the report, but it was lengthy. It was 50 or 60 pages, and all the Patriot sites and the alternative news sites were passing this one around as if, ah, this is the reason for chemtrails. Well, I debunked it at the time, and it's still as untrue now as it was then. They're just giving us ludicrous, completely false justifications for what should be plain to people is poisoning. They're poisonous. Now, they're trying to destroy this country, and they need to continuously ratchet up the fear, ratchet up the anxiety, and they're using these false flag events. Even, I mean, thankfully, you know, they weren't successful in blowing up a city or blowing up a train or other attempts that they were planning on pulling off, but were thwarted, as I mentioned, by unseen friendly forces. But I guess they can get away with this plane deal and yet use that as the pretext for the next round of fascist rules, you know, greater airport intrusion into our privacy, et cetera, et cetera. What I think is hopeful, though, is that I believe a large segment of the public is waking up to the treason that has, you know, we've been subjected to, particularly since 9/11, and that I believe there's going to be a mass boiling point that will occur in which, for instance, these AM radio talk shows or NPR, I believe the day is rapidly approaching that they're going to start getting such a backlash of people. It's true, you know, the callers that they allow through tend to be in agreement with the...
They're operatives. There's no doubt.
Operatives, right. But still... Yeah. Judging from the email I'm getting, I have the feeling there's going to be a swelling tide of a righteous indignation by the people of this country, and I believe that people are going to start feeling more heat. I certainly hope so. I mean, it was very heartening to hear a couple months ago, or perhaps it was 6 weeks ago, I can't remember exactly, in which Al Gore went to a book signing and was literally ran out of the building because the people who came there were not there to welcome him. They wanted to make their displeasure at his incredible amount of lies about global warming, his deceit, and the money that he and all his Illuminati pals are rubbing their hands together in anticipation of ripping off not only the people of this country but the entire world. So happy to hear that the farce at Copenhagen did not produce any further impositions upon people of the world. So happy to hear that. But I look forward to a new day when we can just put an end in which such a flagrant criminal. I mean, Hillary Clinton, let's go back to Whitewater, the role she played in the murder of Vince Foster, the massive amount of fraud and illegality she committed during the Whitewater event. This woman is an arch criminal, as they all are. Good Lord, Rumsfeld, Cheney, etc. All these people belong behind bars.
Okay, Ken, I hate to interrupt you. We've had a caller, Rodney, on the line. I have a feeling this might be about chemtrails. Rodney,
okay.
Are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hey, thanks for holding on. And you got a Happy New Year coming to you before we hang up. So how's it been going?
You all got a Happy New Year coming back at you.
All right.
I'm getting
How are things in your neck of the woods?
Well, I'm getting over some nasty flu. Chemtrails. Horrible. With that said, I've been playing with the camera. I've got some real beauts from today.
Well,
real
interesting.
Nice, real nice ones.
Can you give us some details as to the source of these?
Oh, these are some of the biggest planes I've ever seen. And not only did I see the big ones doing it, I talked to Dr. K earlier, and he reminded me of, remember that gentleman, that mechanic that was kind of told to stay away from them planes because he found it?
Yeah, that was the guy that had been doing wing duty or something, and they sent him back to the latrine area to fill in for a guy on the guy's absence, and he discovered the tanks.
That was many years.
That was years ago, though. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but see, what that was is he found them on the commercial planes.
Right.
Well, while I was observing the big ones, I caught a couple of small commercial ones doing it. Because you can, I can see the ones that are doing it. There's no paint on them. They're just gray.
Mm-hmm.
The other ones, your commercial ones, have their different color emblems on it. And I could see the one, plain as day, it was quite high. It was doing it also. Pilot probably didn't even know it was doing it.
And you say you got this on film now. Is this a video or camera?
This is a camcorder. Oh, this is a camcorder video where you download it into the computer, pick out which ones you want, and email the ones that are come out the best. Oh, okay. I got them. I've got them going in so many directions. I didn't take it with me because I had to make an errand. I wish to God I would. They were so big, they were flying three across.
Now, were you able to get any identifying marks on the planes themselves?
Not
into the video?
Because this stuff today, in the last couple of days, has been very high altitude. But you can still see it.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday, when I woke up and I had to go to the bathroom and that, and I didn't have the camera ready, and I looked out, that one I probably could have gotten the identity. That one was very low. Believe me, I was seething. Oh, I'll get them. As I told Dr. K, gentlemen, they can run. They can't hide. Because I made arrangements with a friend of mine that has a business on a quite high hill. And in that area, there is no tree line for miles. And you can see them every direction. Guess who's going to be sitting there in a chair filming them? Me.
Well, I'm sure Ken would be interested in seeing that. Well, Ken?
Yeah, it would be particularly valuable if you did get commercial airliners on video spraying chemtrails. I'll tell you a story.
Ken, this was the first one that I've actually seen doing it. The other ones, as they fly by, nothing's coming out of them. It's clean. A lot of the commercial ones will be flying lower, and there's nothing coming out of them, and the chemtrails are flying at the higher altitude spraying this stuff. Right. Well, when you see what I'm going to send you, you'll understand what I'm looking at.
Okay. They have used, in addition to military aircraft, a large part of chemtrail spraying has been done by military aircraft without markings, okay? In the earlier years of chemtrail reportage, they referred to them as UN planes because they had no marks on them. They were white. Typically, they were a plane that was made in Europe by Airbus. Now, they started, though, however, because they needed to do so much spraying get some, I don't know how many, but at least some airline companies to retrofit their planes as that man we're you were just talking about, that was very early on. That was probably around 1999 or 2001,
yeah,
somewhere in there. It was on Rents. It was on a lot of websites in which he reported that he saw these tanks that are not normally there. And it's obvious he came upon spraying, specially modified spraying equipment, so that this passenger jetliner was also spraying chemtrails. This is a new story. I've never mentioned this on my website, and I never brought it up on the show, but I was contacted by an ex-pilot for a major big-name U.S. airline. I won't name the airline now, but
okay.
He flew with them for many years. He had the occasion. It happened up at Chicago in O'Hare Field. He had the occasion that he discovered he went into an area that's normally, you know, only restricted to certain people in the higher ups of this particular airline company. But he had the qualifications to be in that area, and he really went to get some information from somebody. And he went into an area. There was no one in the office. He found, and I don't know why he happened to be looking, but he did look. He found in the waste basket documentation of a contract signed that outlined, let's say, the contract for this airline to do this aerosol spraying work, you know, obviously covertly, national security and all that yada yada stuff. But he actually saw the contracts. So now this is what, you know, now as it turns out, and I forget all the details of this correspondence. He sent me this rather lengthy one single email that I got from this guy. I tried to contact him back. I never got a reply. He said that the guy who was in charge of the section, and I forget how, but somehow discovered that he had examined that data. He had read that data. He, you know, became, he knew now of this operation, and he actually saw the paperwork. And what he did is he got out of the country immediately. I guess he had enough reason to fear for his life. He left the country. He contacted me from outside the United States. He did not make it clear where he was, whether he was in, I had the feeling it was in Asia, but he could have emailed me from Europe. And he says that, you know, that prior to that, he was very skeptical about all this stuff about chemtrails and poisoning the population, and tended to just go along with the crowd, you know, that who tend to dismiss this stuff and believe whatever official patter is dished out by the government or their airlines, et cetera. But he said he saw definite, clear, unambiguous proof that this airline was making a great deal of money. He said the numbers was staggering to participate in this chemtrail aerosol operation. This is one of the biggest airline companies in the United States.
You just told me who they were.
Well, anyway, they're one of the biggest. So I believe in the earlier years of chemtrail spraying, they used probably more commercial flights than they are using now. I'll tell you, this is just a guess, of course. I'm just speculation. But this is why I think so. They have quite a bit of advanced technology that is doing chemtrail spraying. They're not even planes. They've been described as flying cubes in some cases. In other cases, flying what look like a large dumbbell. You have two very large spheres, and there's a cylinder connecting the two of them. These platforms have non-visibility technology. So when they're spraying, usually, telescope, magnify it, you would only see the spray output. You wouldn't actually see the vehicle that the spray is coming out of. In fact,
okay,
even for conventional planes, they have stealth technology. I've seen planes, while watching it lay down, simply go invisible and the chemtrail line continues. I saw it myself. I saw it 7-8 years ago. So, you know,
that's what I'm seeing now.
The U.S. government has had stealth technology for their ships, for their planes, for at least 20 years, minimum of 20 years. All this was developed and perfected in the late 70s, early 80s. I mean, heck, I heard Al Bielek report this in a lecture he did in 1992. So it's 2009. Stealth technology is, of course, way beyond what the public's told. They literally can go invisible because they can change the time-space continuum around the craft. And they can go to, heck, they have this invisible technology for their agents. They wear them on the belt. Secret Service agent or CIA, FBI, any of these guys who are authorized with this technology, they just snap this thing on their belt. It's, you know, about the size of a pack of cards. They can go invisible so you can't see them. They can literally walk through walls. This technology has been in place for at least 20 years. So anyway, getting back, I think they're using less commercial planes now because they have all this stealth technology. But the good news is, as I mentioned in other shows, we talked about it, we are defeating the chemtrail operation, no matter how much of this garbage they spew out. Between the work of those who use focused intent, between the efforts of the magnificent efforts of SILFs, between the efforts of groups like General Jeremiah's group, and between the efforts of those who've been dispersing chembusters and orgone generators for the last 8 or 9 years or so, we're defeating chemtrails. I mean, I almost never see a chemtrail that can exist for long here. They may spray it, but it can't exist. Just had some magnificent sylphs today. Oh, my God. One of them looked exactly like a flying horse. Magnificent. Huge, huge, huge creature. I took I don't have time to put this on my website, but I take the photos.
Guys, I'm going to have to cut this call short now because we're running out of time. But, Rodney, okay. I want to thank you for calling in.
Let me jump in here real quick. Ken, can I get a hold of you by the number on your website?
Oh yeah. What you do is, it's wiser to send me an email first, and if you want to talk on the phone, send me your number, because I normally don't leave my Skype phone on, but just send me your number, and I'll call you on the phone, and we'll chat on the phone.
So, in other words, just leave you a message when I call.
Yeah, leave me a message and a phone number, and if you want to talk on the phone, I'll call you back, and then we can take it from there.
Oh, yeah, because there's a lot of stuff I need to talk to you about, especially about that those chembusters and the generators, too.
Oh, yeah. 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 Send me an email and give me a phone number.
Ken, you got to understand, I don't even know how to send an email yet.
Not that difficult.
Well, as soon as this person that is showing me how to do all this stuff shows me, I'll do it, guys. I'm in kindergarten with this stuff.
Okay.
You can also call my phone number, leave a message, and I hear your leave a phone number when you leave the message, and then I'll call you back.
I will.
Gotta go one at a time, guys. You're talking on each other. Gotta move on, Rodney.
Okay, I'll call you later. Thank you much.
Have a happy new year.
Yes, happy new year to you all. Bye.
Thank you. Okay. All right, Ken, we're running out of time here, so.
Yep. Sorry.
Just trying to move along.
Okay. So should I continue?
Chemtrails is one of the things I wanted to talk about. I don't particularly want to talk about the mainstream media very much because I think we pretty much discredited them. They get enough time anyway. They got thousands of stations on the Internet and on the airwaves. But we get the point that this is falling apart. What I'm noticing is that people are not paying attention at all to anything that's going on in their country. They're reacting to every single email that comes out, reacting, and most of these are PSYOP emails. They have no foundation in reality. This terrorist event that I brought up was a smokescreen for what's going on in Washington. It's just an endless diversion. And you can time it. If you take your calendar and you mark your calendar when an event happens, you'll see the pattern.
Mm-hmm.
It creates something almost every day now.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the things that people aren't paying attention to. They're really not understanding that this is just a game for these people and that they're corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that was the essence of what I was alluding to. And we're talking about a lot of different topics, of course.
Yeah.
Chemtrails are important. They've been going on for years and years and years. And they deny that they're going on, but they're going on. We see it. We have films of it. People are suffering from it. People are sick from it.
Mm-hmm.
Some have died from it. They're poisoning our food, our water. They're killing the animals. They're ruining nature. They're ruining the planet with it. What is it going to take in wrapping up here before, you know, the new year is coming in a couple of days?
Yeah. Well, if this event with this fellow on the plane is the worst they're going to throw at us in 2009, then I say we're ahead of the game. I certainly expected false flag events this fall, you know, particularly in following in the wake of the swine flu hoax hysteria campaign, which seems to be winding down now. I haven't been monitoring it very carefully, but I have the feeling that overall you don't hear talk about it on the mainstream propaganda outlets. So I have the feeling that the campaign is pretty much wound down. I hope that's the case, because enough people have needlessly poisoned themselves by agreeing to get vaccinated, and how many people are now dead who otherwise would have been alive had they not listened to the liars, the propaganda, mainstream television and radio, convinced them that, they just had to get this wonderful swine flu vaccine. Otherwise, they were going to die from this terrible pandemic. People like Nyman ratcheting up the pandemic with his hype. So, if you remember, the 28th, the 29th rather, of December, 4 weeks ago, 4 to 6 weeks ago, the sky was falling in the Ukraine, remember? According to Nyman, we were up to almost 2 million. We're on the brink of death, and it only looked like it was going to get much darker. Why aren't we hearing about all the millions of people who died in the Ukraine? Because the numbers were hugely inflated. The whole event was inflated. The people who suffered the most are the people who foolishly took the vaccine. So I hope as we go into January that this 100th monkey effect has spread itself enough around the world so that at least other people in other countries absolutely tell their governments we're not going along with mandatory vaccination schemes, and whatever it takes to rebuff those attempts, the people need to make their will known. And it's the only thing that these psychopaths understand, is just fierce will to oppose them and not accept anything that they try to use as a pretext to force you to do something you don't want to do. Simply resist in any way you have to. But above all, don't capitulate to their lies. Tell them they're liars if you have the opportunity in any way, and they'll retreat. They're cowards by nature. All of them are cowards by nature. They depend on this, let's say, mob coercion to work their will. But if the bulk of the populace rejects their lies and then actively starts rebelling, it will collapse. Their schemes collapse. They have collapsed many times in the past. because enough people became outraged enough that it, I don't know for certain, but, you know, thank God Copenhagen collapsed. It could well be this outrageous communist health bill will collapse. We'll see, but none of these things happen with people remaining passive, though, and acquiescing. Once you know of the agenda, if you're sitting on your hands, you're helping the other side. You might as well just send your money to the Obama camp or any of these other, you know, send it to Goldman Sachs, whoever else is who's robbing us. If you're doing nothing, you're assisting the other side to destroy this country and destroy these us, to destroy the people, to destroy the future generations. Think how many young girls who otherwise, had they not been so foolish as to get Gardasil vaccinations or the swine flu vaccinations, have unwittingly perhaps prevented themselves from becoming pregnant. Or if they do become pregnant, their child may have DNA damage as a result of the vaccine damage that they get. How many parents bought the lies of the government, of mainstream media propagandists, and insisted their children get vaccinated because they thought it was the best thing for them? I would not feel very good if I was a parent and I insisted my kids get vaccinated only to find out my child dies, gets autism, Guillain-Barré syndrome, becomes dull, retarded, or has other severe neurological reactions like Desiree Jennings had. I wouldn't feel very good about myself. I wouldn't be very happy that I was so naive. Too many of these people in this country are as naive as they come, and it's an outrage because the information is available. It's not like we weren't in the age of the internet. Just about every home has a computer and access to the internet, and you can get information now with a few clicks of a mouse that, you know, you would have had to work long and hard digging through, you know, libraries in Washington, D.C., for instance, or New York City, to glean even a fraction of the information that you can get in a few seconds by using a Google search engine.
Yeah.
So
I'd like to make a closing comment here.
Okay.
This year, I came out with a number of articles, a number of pieces that went around the world, got a lot of attention internationally. Certainly the mainstream media knows what I've written. Certainly the government knows what I've written. The black ops agencies know. Okay? And I'm not afraid to talk about it because they were written without fear, and so right. I have no fear talking about it.
Right.
And the attempts by their agents to infiltrate, to try to debunk the work or try to malign my character or the character of you or any of the other people, Dr. H. Uad or Drew Raines, any of the people that I've associated with myself with right. on the show or on their shows, is going to turn out to be fruitless for them.
Uh-huh.
The calls to the network threatening lawsuits, you want to sue me, you have grounds to sue me, go ahead.
Right.
And you know who I'm talking to. I won't even give the individual the dignity of using his name.
Okay.
But this individual has maligned me, maligned my work. And that's just an indication that I'm on target, because why would someone attack another person for bringing out the truth?
Mm-hmm.
And this idiocy that seems to have enveloped, especially many Americans, that things that we talk about of the past are not important. Only when it's convenient for the people to talk about the past.
Mm-hmm.
They'll talk about Jim Brown's football records, or they'll talk about Michael Jordan's basketball records, Or they'll talk about Joe DiMaggio and Roger Maris and Mickey Mantle and anybody that is convenient for conversation, for meaningless conversation.
Right.
They'll talk about the past in that context, but if we expose the lies of the past, they become quite uncomfortable, and then it becomes a mission of these people to attack the messenger.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, we've exposed people, we've exposed the fraud going on in light of the swine flu, the bird flu, the SARS, these pharmaceutical companies. We've exposed these people because they have an agenda to make people sick, to murder people,
yep,
under the guise of making money. So that's a righteous way to expose people. But if you want to go making threats about suing, then sue. Don't call up someone that doesn't care whether you sue me or not. Sue me! Okay? Because I've got audio recording of your voice defaming me. And you won't last 5 seconds in a court of law. As corrupt as the courts are, you won't last that long. So that message goes out to those that are hell-bent on destroying the lives of many, many people who they don't even give a damn about. While they collect their corrupt paycheck, their black ops paycheck, and they practice their satanic worship and everything else they do, and their pedophilia, and their raping of women, go hide in an underground base someplace, and get a life. That's what suits you. So that's my New Year's resolution.
Yeah, I would assume those are hollow threats. But it seems to me, was it at the end of Clinton's or the beginning of Bush's? I can't remember. They made a change in law, in which if a party was sued, and the accusation or the grounds for the suit proved to be frivolous or false, they passed the law. Congress passed the law in which the party who was the defendant, let's say, in this sort of action, could recover all of his legal fees that he had to spend to defend themselves from the other side. That was a change from earlier decades in which, let's say, powerful organizations, often, companies and so forth, corporations, to intimidate smaller people, would typically threaten to sue, and very often did sue, even though they, if the fellow, could present aside the case adequately, but what would happen is that the defendant had to go through all the expense of defending himself, but he could not, recover any damages from these people who bought false suit against him. But they changed that, in which you can now recover from those who falsely or attempt to falsely, sue you on false grounds. And so whoever thinks that it's a piece of cake to launch a lawsuit, particularly a slander lawsuit.
Well, you have to have grounds.
You have to have grounds, and you really need to read what the law says, what constitutes slander, what constitutes libel. In most cases, they can't. In most cases, it won't even go to trial because the judge will toss it out before it ever gets there. So if you're really anxious to spend money and learn a few facts of life when it comes to the court system, go ahead, file the lawsuit and see how far it goes, particularly for slander or libel. You have to prove malicious intent. And we do have this little thing, called the freedom of speech. And unless you can prove malicious intent based on false, intentionally false dispersed false information, you're not going to even get to a trial. So,
yeah.
So anyway, in this case of this guy, I would have to assume it's mostly hot air, saber rattling.
Oh yeah, this is just a case of somebody coming out and just being, well, I don't know if it's jealousy or delusion, mm-hmm. You know, because my research is getting attention. My research gets posted on some major websites around the world. I have a radio show. I have a large listening audience. My audience responds to the show. Who knows? Who knows why people do these things? That comes with the territory, I guess.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, but we're also in rather insane times too. So people can be very unpredictable, and I guess very lonely and very bored with their own selves. So they have to try to make themselves important by latching onto the coattails of others.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. You know, I've mentioned.
Yeah,
this,
you go through the same situation, and other talk show hosts we know.
Yeah.
Go through the same things.
Yeah.
There are those that are just hell-bent on destroying the truth and destroying the messengers of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, they're going to lose out. So it doesn't matter if it happens today, tomorrow, next week, next month, mm-hmm. or next year. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's a done deal.
Yeah.
And people have to start getting wise to all of this, too. You know,
I think people learn as they hear a show like this. These games are well known to anyone who's been involved in a website such as mine or yours. It's, you know, it became obvious to me many years ago. We all start out very innocent in this regard. I just wanted to share information with people just for the sake of, you know, letting people, at least the people who hadn't, you know, who hadn't gleaned these pieces of information about these things. There's a lot of wonderful news that is not made known to people in school, for instance, college and university. So I had a lot that I wanted to talk about alternative medicine and particularly suppressed science. You know, this is a wonderful area of exploration. I certainly didn't know when I was younger and going through school that people like Nikola Tesla existed or Royal Rife. I mean, we're never told about these truly great men. We're given the people who the, let's say, the establishment wants to lionize as icons, you know, Henry Ford and so forth, you know, Andrew Carnegie and the Carnegie Institute and all these Mellon, et cetera, all these wonderful Eastern establishment Illuminati family types are the ones who are lionized in the history books, and the truly great men, you know, we never hear about. So when I started my website, this is what I was eager to talk about, et cetera. As I mentioned in the past, the New World Order just was the elephant in the room. It just forced itself into the picture. I had to talk about it because they're marching ahead at breakneck speed. So the website sort of became dominated by that arena, but nevertheless, it's the other areas that I began with that I much rather put my time into. Anyway, as the years go by, you know, people contact you, and yeah, you get a lot of people who are, there's agents, of course. I didn't know they were agents in the beginning, who will try to get under your skin. So you're experiencing that now. I've had plenty of people that have attempted to goad me in order to get an angry response. In many cases, I would address them very strongly in letters to the editor. But it did become clear to me, Don, after a time, they're playing me. And they're mm-hmm. whether they're mind-controlled or whether they're sincere, they're just doing it in the interest of goading me. I realize that I'm investing too much time responding to these really gnats. They're just small-minded individuals who just want me to spend all my time responding to their frivolous drivel. So it's eating up time that I could be using in more valuably in other areas. And B, it's elevating them. I told this to Ted Gunderson over a decade ago. You know, I won't even mention the name of the party, but a person who otherwise simply wouldn't be known on the internet depends on attacking him in order to create, you know, interest in this party. And I told Ted, don't respond to this person because you've accomplished something significant and important in your life, and they're trying to, you know, achieve public recognition from your reputation, from your work. They themselves have achieved nothing. They're just a net. And so you're experiencing that now because between, you know, these articles you've been writing and the show, you know, your popularity is going up. So you're going to get more and more of these gnats, and their job is to irritate you and to, you know, consume your time. That's what they're trying to do. So I realize you have to respond in some cases, but in other cases, probably just ignoring them is the wisest course.
Yeah, well, they had been ignored anyway, you see. But that's, you know, the positive side is that that's an indication
that you're hitting.
That you're on the right track.
And right, exactly.
You're hitting bullseyes.
Exactly, right, right. That is the best indication of that.
You know, and probably given that person, even the credit for being an agent is a stretch.
Right, probably. In many cases, these people are under mind control and, of course, don't know they're under mind control.
Yeah.
They just have feelings about this and that, and they don't know why they have the feelings. Well, the reason they're having the feelings is the CIA is uploading the feelings via microwave signals directly into their subconscious mind, and they're not even aware of that.
Yeah. Well, Ken, we're out of time, but I want to thank you for the broad range of topics you're willing to discuss on a weekly basis.
Yes, thank you. I just want to mention that because I said last time I was going to pick up the information about healing modalities. I actually was going to get into that tonight, but we got off on a tangent and I ran with it. But on our next show, I promise, I'll pick up where I left off with the healing information because I have quite a bit to talk about.
Okay. Well, I want to wish you a Happy New Year. And look forward. Can you believe it's already the end of the year?
Yeah, yeah. So it's okay. Time is marching on. So yeah, I look forward to a Happy New Year for you and for everyone who hears my words. I look forward. We're going to succeed, Don. We're going to overcome the New World Order. It seems to look dark at times. However, I have the overwhelming feeling that the whole thing is going to collapse. And naturally, sooner it happens, you know, I welcome that. But it's going to happen. And I don't think it's going to go on much longer. I really don't. I see a what feels like a groundswell of indignation from large numbers of people, it's going to have unexpected repercussions throughout society. I mean, who knows how it'll show up? Maybe policemen, at long last, will start to rebel about being, you know, turned into robocops for the New World Order. It might be a larger number of military personnel, particularly upper ranks, who will start to coalesce and to, isolate the satanic New World Order types at work in the military and in the Pentagon, particularly installing the New World Order. It might be bureaucrats on the government level who are now seeing that their toil is working towards the destruction of this country, who might begin to coalesce in let's say hidden ways, but to stop the juggernaut from going forward. It might happen even among the ranks where we least expect it: FEMA, Homeland Security, FBI, etc. Who knows? But I have the feeling it's going to happen. I just have the feeling the New World Order is going to collapse.
Well, it's so, kind of late in the game for those people in the bureaucracies to notice it. If they're just getting it now. I think they're a bit late, but that's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. It's probably never too late, but certainly, you know, this message has been out there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have been putting that message out there.
Yep.
You know, this is not a new topic.
Yep. But
so, all right. Well, we got to say goodnight to our listening audience, but I want to wish you a very happy new year and look forward to your continued guest appearances on Evident Footprints in 2010.
Thanks, Dan.
Okay. Folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and tonight's special guest, Mr. Ken Adachi. You can visit his website at educate-yourself.org or educate-yourself.org. Special thanks to bbsradio.com for making Evident Footprints possible. Also, Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com. Wish all the U.S. military personnel overseas a very happy new year and a safe one. Look forward to your speedy return. Tonight we had on the sound Seth Hendrick. Thanks for the sound, Seth. And happy new year to you and everybody at BBS Radio as well. And to all you in the listening audience, I wish everyone a very, very happy new year. Join me again tomorrow night, when my special guest will be Mr. Michael Anthony. New Year's Eve, we're going to have Drew Raines, and we'll be back on New Year's Day with Mr. Jim Murray. So we've got great shows lined up for the rest of the week. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.